putting it in the context of scriptures, then taking other information and just basically dividing it, separating it out, which is what the scriptures tell us to do. When you do that, because you can do that with every time somebody gives you a word. If somebody will come up to you, and this is the thing. With churches, many of them are like, they just substitute a sastakarya for a prophet. You know, they'll substitute like a fortune teller for a prophet, and they're just waiting to get, you know, like, oh, quick, get to that person because they'll give us, you know, a fortune about my life. And so it's not, they haven't come out of the world in any way, shape, or form. They've just substituted something else in, and they're looking for something juicy and all that. Now,
you're going to get shot. It's like a revolutionary
thing. Is it wrong? We're on the path, we're looking, we're seeking, we're walking in truth, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So, something like that is a case in point of what was the product of it? What was the outcome of it? When God gave a word to His early church, what was the results of it? It didn't result in fear for His people. The work in the ministry, the prophetic ministry. Let's look at this really quick before we start. I want to show you this. I said this before, but I want to do this again. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Okay. Ephesians 4 says, all right, so now people that would assume certain responsibility in the body of Christ, here's one thing I want to point out to you too. See, God gives people their assignment. Man cannot designate these assignments. Huge difference. Because see, the Spirit of God will choose somebody for a specific task. And many times, it is not something that you yourself will have picked for yourself. He'll be like kicking and screaming, he'll pull you into it, but he'll compel you to it because you love the Father, and out of that love for your walk with him, you'll do anything because you're in love. You can do anything for somebody you're in love with. But now, for people that have been given responsibility, these areas of responsibility in the body of Christ. So, and it's not a lordship over, it's not a higher position, it's purely an area of responsibility within the systems of the body of Christ. For example, you have a circulatory system, you have a respiratory system, you have a skeletal system, you have different systems inside of your body that make up your body. So when it speaks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, it's basically talking about, if you would, the skeletal system of the body. Not something special, because if your circulatory system doesn't work, you're just a bunch of flat bones on the ground. So these are not an elevated group of people. And so it's been a distortion in the body of Christ that actually goes back to an early infiltration into the body of Christ within even the very first church age, which is spoken about as the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is basically means conquer the laity. Basically, it means to elevate yourself above other people. That's when God said, I hate that teaching, when he spoke about it. Because it goes against the priesthood of all believers, which is what the church is. Christ is the head, and we are basically all little priests in Christ Jesus. Now, for those that have responsibility in these areas, so let's go through this real quick. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole, and that brings it back into the body, from whom the whole body joined, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So basically, verse 14, be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. So to help you grow up, the role of every one of these people, if they're fulfilling that responsibility and if they have in fact been called by God to do that, is to help you to grow up, help you to look to God, and not to be tossed to and fro with every prophecy, with every new teaching, with every new thing that would come down the chute, with every 40 days of purpose. That is just crap. I mean, that, I'm sorry, but I can't stand that thing. Because it's what that is it's another form of outcome-based religion where they're just, again, trying to get a bunch of people to come to the building. It's McDonald's franchising of the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is not a franchise. God, see, even with each individual person, just like you have an individual fingerprint, God, He custom builds every single life for specific identified purposes that He works in and through those lives to do. You can't mechanize this thing. So when they're not fulfilling that role, see, here's the problem. What I've seen is you have people that have taken on certain responsibility that God never called them to do. And so already they're out of position and out of place with the Father. And then, because they're out of position and out of place with the Father, they end up hurting a lot of people. But then past that, because of that, now they have a congregation. Some people watch them because they have a personality or something like that. So you have these personality cults built up. But now they've got to do something. You know, they've got to do something to justify themselves in their position or whatever. And so you see all kinds of manners of gimmicks, gizmos, those kind of things that take place. Other times, you have what the scriptures refer to as deceitful workers, that Lucifer himself has ministers that transform themselves into angels of righteousness. They look like the real thing. And just like we were talking even before some people got here, that you have the if people are not led by the Spirit, if you can't see in the dimension of the Spirit, you won't be able to tell the difference between one that is real and one that's false, because they'll both look the same to the natural eye. So it's a time of strong delusion. And so when we come up against that, yes, we have to call things like they are, because of the fact that, again, we are on the path of truth and we trust the Spirit of truth that's in us. So, I think Natasha said she's going to run a little bit late today. So, should we just pray and kind of get into things? Because we're going to keep on time. We're going to be going through so much here. So, Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, so much for your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your love for us, Father. We thank you, Lord God, that your Spirit, Lord, of truth, that leads and guides us into all truth, is here with us this evening, Father God. And so, Lord, we just praise you, Father. We praise you, Lord, because you are good, Father. You are so good to your people, Lord. You have taken care of us, Lord. You have sustained us, Lord God. You have watched over our lives, Father. And you've given us, Lord, the opportunity, Lord God, to walk with you in the earth, Lord God, in your kingdom, Father, that is here, that is ruling and reigning, Father. So, Lord, we praise you for that, Lord, this night. And, Lord, we pray, Father God, that, Lord, even as we would open up your word this evening, Father, even as we would talk, Lord God, and as we would just look into the scriptures, Father, we pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would cut through the darkness, Father, Lord, that you would just expose everything to the light and to the truth, Lord, we pray, Father God, that that in this time, Lord God, that you would free us, Father, from every form of mind control and every form of deception, Lord God. And Lord, that we would just walk in your truth and in your light, Lord God. We just praise you, Father, because we know you're with us. And Lord, I get out of the way right now and I allow for the free flow of your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would just lead and guide these words, Lord God, and that they would cut through, Father, to every person where they're at. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. So, I was hoping to start a new series tonight, but we need to set it up a little bit first, so we'll see how far we get. But basically, the role of every person that would have this type of responsibility in the body of Christ, if they're fulfilling their duties accurately, it would be, you would be less dependent upon them today than you were yesterday. See, the superstar, you know, get on stage, the whole thing's bunk. You know, I mean, it really is. It's too many personality cults rolling around. Your faith should never be dependent on a man. If your faith is dependent on a man, see, because men are fallible. You know, even with the scriptures were put together by fallible men. Every single man that helped write the scriptures had a whole lot of problems, had a whole lot of hang-ups, did a lot of bad things. There are murderers that were used by God to write the scriptures. Two of the most profound contributors to the Word of God were Moses and Paul. Both of them were killers. So now God will use fallible people to accomplish his purposes in the earth, but look to God and not to men. Because if you look to man, inevitably you yourself will, you'll be disappointed, guaranteed. But then past that, it's very, very likely to get led into deception, because when you look to a man, in the end, if they're steering you towards themselves, it's not to any good in the end. So, okay. Let's just get right into this. Go to Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. Now, hey, be cool. We saved a nice big chair for you. Okay, Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31 says, "Thou, O king," okay, Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream. He's had and Daniel is about to interpret, or is about to interpret this dream that he had. Verse 31, chapter 2 says, "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and were of iron and of clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken into pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heavens, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be let to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron and the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Okay. Cool. So, what we have here is, see, we are living in time. Every one of us is here for a very, very limited window. Now, God has graced us to be part of what He's doing in the earth at this point in time. Now, God Himself, being eternal, came into time in Jesus Christ. For, I like this, there's a Hebrew transliteration of the Bible I really like. It says He came for a bitty time. Like, just this little bit, chunk of time, long enough to do what was necessary, to prove some points, to finish everything off, make sure that it was all done, set and done, and then He was out. And so we are all here for a window of time. So now when we look back through scriptures, we see the operation of an eternal God in temporal time. So this is why too, with something like prophecy, prophecy is not some mystical thing out there. Ooh, you know, it's no. The whole thing is done. Everything has already happened. It's a movie that we just happen to be living in the middle of a few frames. But all of it has happened, is done, is happening, will happen, has already happened. And so we're just living in a section of that. So when somebody will move in something like a prophetic gift, all it is God allows them to see, fast forward, in the movie reel just a little ways, and give you an idea of what might be coming up ahead. But because the Spirit of God lives inside of you and the Spirit of Truth lives inside of you, it witnesses to the Spirit of Truth that already knows all things anyways and says, oh yeah, that sounds in line with what God is already revealing to me. Or, no, wait a second, that's not from this movie. That's from somebody else's made up script that never made the plot. So in a situation like this, what you see is, all right, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, God is speaking to an established earthly ruler, bad, evil, corrupt person, giving him a dream about what's going to happen. And God does speak this very day to bad, evil, corrupt rulers and gives them words from heaven. He does. He speaks to them. Now, what they do with it, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But God does speak to authorities that are in positions in the world. And Nebuchadnezzar, God humbled him thoroughly. Just to put it to him that, wait a second, brother, you know, you got nothing unless I allow you to be in this position in the first place. Throughout history, if a ruler did not realize, I mean, what he did to Pilate, he said, look, you would have no authority unless it was given to you by God. Nebuchadnezzar was like, hey, I did this all for myself. And God, before the very words left his mouth, he lost his mind. And he ended up eaten grass for a few years. So, I mean, God can do that to anybody at any time. And, I mean, rulers like Herod, he just killed him. Or just removed his protection from him and let him die. So, in this situation, what you have is a spot in time God is giving a word that now when you look back through history, of course, like, oh yeah, of course, the head of gold, you have the Babylonian Empire, silver, you have the Medo-Persian Empire, and then you see the Grecian Empire come up, and then you have the Romans. And but so each one of these world kingdoms, world empires, established themselves. And so these were, when something was a world power, it was basically, this is the dominant force in the world. Nobody else can overcome this power. This is the strongest thing that's there. So now, during the Roman Empire, Jesus comes on the scene. And see, his kingdom has come, is come, will come. He is I am. He's ever present. So again, when we were talking a little bit before, see past two-dimensional, three-dimensional reality. See past the limits of time into the multidimensional nature of God. So, okay, Isaiah, you know, he also kind of gave a little bit of a precursor. He said, "For unto us," Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with zeal and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore," even forever. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So, of the increase of his government and his peace there shall be no end. So, Jesus. Now, where is his kingdom? Where is this kingdom that was set up? You know, because see, again, it has come and it will come. Luke chapter 17, verse 20, it says, and 21 says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" See, the world and the carnal world is looking for natural things, because the world again wants to establish everything based on the models and the ideas that it already has. So for the world, in the natural progression of things, they're like, okay, we've had our Babylonian, we've had our Medo-Persian, we've had our Greek, we've got our Roman. Come on, God, when are you going to set up this rock that, you know, when's this kingdom going to come? When are we going to see this thing? Because Jesus, you're a king, right? You know, you're showing up, you're the king of the Jews. And what did Jesus say to them? He said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And see, this is a key for your walk and your life and your time here. The kingdom of God is within you. Christ, the Spirit of God, comes into you. Your body is the temple of the living God. We talked about this in some earlier lessons, where you are the temple of God. God does not live in temples made by human hands. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. And the kingdom of God comes within. The kingdom of God is within. So, what you see is, see, the world is still looking for so many things externally. But Jesus, when he comes and he establishes his kingdom, all of a sudden he just threw them a huge curveball. It just went way past them. They're like, all right, when are you going to send up this? Where's this kingdom? Where's it going to be set up? He's like, wait, it's within you. Now, it took some time for him to go through the things necessary so that the way could be made to the Father through Christ Jesus, so that we could Come on. Okay. So that we could walk this thing out. But it's a spiritual kingdom that Jesus initially established. He's the Lord of that kingdom, and the kingdom has only continued to expand, and it does fill the entire earth. Because, okay, John chapter 18, verse 36 and verse 37 says, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." There it is again. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now it is my kingdom, now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." So, his is a kingdom of truth, which is why we go to bat on stuff like we did last week, because we are people of truth. We're seeking and pressing after truth. And in him there is no room for falsehood. So, and he also leads and guides us into all truth. He said in the scriptures, "You need that no man teach you when the Holy Spirit comes, because the Holy Spirit himself will teach you." You need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when he comes upon you. So you, in fact, you don't need a single person to teach you anything, in the respect that if you are following and being led by the Holy Spirit, he will lead and guide you through this life and teach you everything you need to know. Isn't that encouraging? Because you don't need a person. It was not left up to fallible men to be able to help guide you through this thing. You don't need that. All you need is the Spirit of God, and he can walk you through this. What we do is we encourage each other in this path, because we're going on the same journey. But again, Jesus answered and he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." So, again, people are looking to try to establish earthly kingdoms, because again, they want to be like the world. They want to match up to the world. So, they push for natural manifestations. They push for things you can see, you can touch, you can count. You know, that's why there's such a push to get everybody there on a Sunday and mark the register, because you got to have something you can count. So how many members does your church have compared to how many members my church has? You see, the difference between that's carnal. That is carnal. Because scripturally, I see plenty of times where God took leadership within the body of Christ and sent them in a whole different direction. They had no more members. God sent them somewhere else. So, are they willing to get up and move with the Spirit of God if the Spirit is leading them to another place? If they're so heavily entrenched there, they're not your members. They're God's sheep. If anything, you're just watching over them, and you better be taking good care of them, because God holds you to account. But Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." So, his kingdom has continued to expand to this day, and it does trump all others. See, that's one thing. There is a spiritual kingdom that is established. And that kingdom, as it continues to expand in the earth, as eternity, this supernatural, eternal kingdom, comes to bear on this natural three-dimensional reality, everything is falling apart. Because this reality can't handle that. So you see the stirring up of everything. When the light and the darkness clash together, you see all of these crazy manifestations that we're beginning to see right now. You will see in the days ahead, you will see a spiritual ramping up like you've never seen before. The deceptions will be much stronger. The deceptions will be much stronger in the days ahead than they ever have been before. But also the power of God, the truth, will come forward in a way that the world has never seen as well. You will see the true sons and daughters of righteousness moving in the true, not the artificial, but the true power of God. See, there's a deceptive way that's in operation in the world right now as well. And that one, it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. it denies the lordship of Jesus Christ. It seeks to prop up a man and an individual, saying that you need that person to get to God, where you don't. But with these, with right now what God is doing in the earth, is you will see, again, the power that comes through the true saints of God, that is completely under the control and the operation of the Holy Spirit. Because we talked a little bit about that before, about 1 Corinthians 12, where this, those gifts, that they operate as the Spirit wills, not as people will. So I can't tell you that we're going to have a miracle healing rally, because what if God's not doing that? You know, I can't, you know, what am I going to do, fake it? You know, push some people over and say they got it? Like, oh, brother, you heal from your headache. It's like, no. I mean, and that stuff goes out too. It's crazy. Okay. How do I know you had a headache before I prayed for you? All right. So, all who come to the Father through Christ Jesus are set free. See, here's the thing. We're kingdoms. Each one of these kingdoms that were established through the ages were the most powerful force that were there. They could not, so they were the ruling authority at the time. And when Jesus comes on the scene, all of a sudden now you have a kingdom established and a king that are stronger and more powerful than any other force there is. So nothing can hold a soul, nothing can dominate a soul if Christ Jesus sets them free. So when he comes on the scene, so all who come to the Father through Christ Jesus are set free from the bonds of any earthly kingdom and any earthly state, and in the Spirit they are liberated. So no kingdom and nothing in this world can hold a soul if Christ sets it free. The kingdoms of the world only melt down and fall apart as we progress. So as we move forward in temporal time, but also as eternal beings, the world will continue to melt down all around you. So now, here's the thing too, that prophecy, whatever you want to call it, that came out, it's, you know, we don't fear the meltdown of the world that is going to take place, because the world will melt down. Make no mistake about it. The world is going to melt down. The systems of the world will fall apart. And you will see floods and earthquakes and famines and pestilence, and all of these things will certainly take place in increasing measure, because the scriptures talk about it as birth pains, which when, I mean, I've, plenty of women I've known that have gone through the labor, and you have increase in intensity and you have the increase in the contractions. So they get closer and closer together and they get worse and worse and worse. So I'm so yeah. So yeah. Yeah, I know. I've learned some things. So you will see this, but for the true children of God, this is not something to be afraid of, for one. We don't love our lives in this world. So when you're in Christ, you're no longer here. See, that's what's so cool. See, when Christ Jesus comes into you and you come into Christ, the very act of baptism, what that is you are proclaiming to everybody that you are dead to this world and you are alive in Christ. So you are literally, that's just an external symbolic representation of the spiritual reality that's taken place, in that you are dead to the world and alive in Christ. So now, when you come to Christ and you receive Him into you and His life is living through you, now it's Him living His life and His purposes out through you. So your body is the temple of the living God. He's living in you. He's manifesting through you. The kingdom is within you. You see this. So like there's a spiritual manifestation taking place of God's Spirit in and through you in the world that you're living in. And so that is the reality of your existence here. So you're not existing in this world to be a CEO of a major corporation or a rock star or a great philanthropist or somebody that does great humanitarian service, or any of these things that the world might say, oh, great job, well done. No, none of that. Your life and your purpose is purely what's directed by the Holy Spirit. Now, if it happens to be that He would choose that for you, because the wheat and the tares grow together throughout, God places His people in every place. So, in the White House, in the midst of all the stupid stuff they're doing, I'm sure that God has some of His people very close. In the middle of Iraq, in the middle of all that's going on, in the middle of Pakistan, in the middle of Sri Lanka, wherever it is that you see, you'll have the wheat and the tares growing together. Because God has His people that He calls, opens up, and He manifests His sons and daughters of God all over. So He's the one that calls. He's the one that directs your life. He's the one that lives out His life through yours in the world that you live in. So now that's the reality that we choose and come into when you are in Christ. That's the way that you end up going. Rather than, instead of this, you know, okay, now be a good boy, and now that you've said the sinner's prayer, right? Okay, good job. Now, be a good boy, and, you know, you're doing some bad things, don't do those anymore. And come to church on Sunday and make sure you tithe, because, you see what I'm saying? That's ridiculous. That whole thing is ridiculous. Even with sin and all of these things, again, we're in a spiritual kingdom. And God, Jesus, when He was talking to the woman at the well, she said, you know, where should we worship? Should we worship in Jerusalem, or should we worship here? And He said the time is coming and has now come in Him where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So we worship and live in spirit. Not in the natural ordinances of people that are stuck. So basically, the walk in spirit is, see, we are living in spirit in the spiritual kingdom, where, and what's sin? Basically, what sin is doing is it binds you into a base reality. So it hinders your ability to walk out the spiritual call that God has on your life. So it's like shackles on you. It pulls you into this very base three-dimensional place. So you're stuck there, and all of these things are to keep you from moving into that reality of spirit that God is destined for you to be in. So it's kind of stupid when people are like trying to say, okay, how much sin can I get away with, and how much can I? I mean, it's like you're missing the point. That's you know, if you're walking this thing out with the Holy Spirit, He will lead and guide you into all truth. And when He's showing you something, what He's going to do is He is going to show you the path to walk. And if there's something that's in your life that displeases Him, guaranteed, if you're honest with Him, He'll show you that. And you will choose that because you love Him. You'll choose to walk out of that. So I leave plenty of space for the Holy Spirit to work in people's lives, because if they're following Him, He will show them that. They will let stuff go. And it'll come from the Spirit of God manifesting in them. Because their desire then is to walk out this life in spirit. So the base three-dimensional reality, the whole world is stuck there. That's all they can see. And as soon as you, as a son or daughter of God, would choose to walk this thing out with the Holy Spirit, what you will see is all the kingdoms of this world will do everything that they can to get you bound back into a three-dimensional base reality. So, I mean, brothers that I know in Christ, we used to have a men's Bible study in the States, and there were guys I remember that just, you know, they couldn't get a date for the life of them. And all of a sudden, when they said, all right, forget all this, I'm going with Jesus, all of a sudden they became attractive. You know, like, and then it's just like, why? Wow, she wouldn't talk to me yesterday. I'm like, brother, there's something else going on here. See, as soon as you choose to walk out this life with the Holy Spirit, with God, everything will come in the world to keep you from doing that. See, this world is a prison. And it's a prison for the soul. The kingdoms of this world are established to harvest and to harness the souls of men. So again, Jesus is talking about, he said, I got it. My kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's within you. It's among you. It's here. It exists, but you can't see it with your natural eyes. You can't point it out and say, oh, okay, right there in Colombo 5, that is where the kingdom of God is. No. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and it's in spirit that you would see it. But also in spirit, there is a kingdom of this world that's behind the scenes. Now, you see a lot of the natural manifestations of it, but there's also a demonic spiritual kingdom that is set up through the world that seeks to harvest the souls of men. Now, both of these kingdoms allow for the free will decisions of people. So you can choose. You can choose to exert your free will to make a choice, and you spend your life living out that choice here. Of, do you choose the Father and the gift of life that the Holy Spirit would give you, or do you choose the world and the provision of this world and the chance to be a superstar for 15 minutes and to get on the stage and to dance around and to run around the track one time? And is that the choice that you make? And whichever choice that you make is basically the reality that you will live in here and the reality that you manifest into eternity. See, eternity is basically an everlasting manifestation of the choice that you made here. So, now God doesn't lose any one of those that are His either. So He's the perfect shepherd, so you don't have to worry about, you don't have to worry about there's another form of cultic teaching that just gets everybody all concerned about losing their salvation and all this kind of stuff. It's like, you made a mistake, now you're going to hell. And it's like, no, God is the perfect shepherd, you are His sheep, He doesn't lose one of those that are His. So if you are truly His, He is never going to lose you. If he's infallible. Now you just walk this thing out with Him and live in the freedom that He has for you this day. So, okay. So the kingdom of God. Here, let me just read this one for you too. Matthew 24 verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto till the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. So there you go again. The kingdom of God is growing and filling the whole earth. So God, even there, Jesus said that this gospel, this truth, will fill the whole earth. This spiritual kingdom, for sure, even as in the vision that Daniel had, happens on a spiritual level. For sure. This whole thing that we're living in, this spiritual kingdom, this expansion of, it's, the world won't end until this stuff happens. And it has happened, it is happening even now. So, it surely fills the whole earth. Now, the true gospel destroys every other kingdom. Kingdoms were only succeeded by a new one when they were overpowered by one stronger. So none are stronger than the King of Kings, and none can hold a soul captive when Christ sets it free. So, let me read you this one in Matthew 12, verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, this is Jesus talking, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? So he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So, Jesus is the stronger, but he also draws a very clear line that there's, either you're on one side or you're on the other. Either you're with Him or you're not. Either you are part of the spiritual kingdom of God or you're part of the world. And so, it's not, all of these nations in the world, and you have Japan and China and Afghanistan and, Greenland. I mean, all of the nations of the world, in the end, there's really only two kingdoms in operation. you have the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. You have the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and the satanic kingdom here on earth. And you have spiritual beings walking around in the natural dimension, and all of this stuff is happening in a spiritual plane. And see, even with the thing about people trying to, the whole thing about sin is that it binds your ability to even see into the dimension of what's really going on. So you don't see what's taking place on a spiritual level. So you may have, people do natural things, but they don't see the spiritual reality behind it. You know, for example, when people practice some kind of animal sacrifice or whatever, you know, they're just cutting the head off of some chicken. You know, what's the big deal about that? But because of all the spiritual elements that are behind it, the things that they do to draw spiritual power, all of that that's there, there's a spiritual thing that's taking place that is happening on the dimension of what's real, which is the world of spirit. The world of spirit is the real one. The one that we see right now is the illusion, because what we see right now with our natural eyes, it doesn't last. So, okay.
This is a question.
Yeah, please.
Out there, but something that because
sure.
Talk about the kingdom of heaven and all that.
Yeah.
Long time ago, there was a study about these end times.
Yeah.
And they said about after the end times, there'll be where even heaven and earth will be in different areas, where they say kingdom is Zion, they say new earth, mm-hmm. heaven, all that. And they say even earth will be a part of that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's a bit out there, but then
yeah.
something. So if that is the case, like how you say the kingdom of heaven and
yeah.
kingdom of earth, so where does all that fit?
I'll get to that in 1 minute. Because okay, in fact, let's get to it right now. All right, when we pray that we're accessing the kingdom of God on earth. See, when you see in scriptures the kingdom of God, it's speaking of the indestructible spiritual kingdom that was established by Jesus Christ on the earth. So I'll give you 5 scriptural references, and you can go through these later. Matthew 3, verse 2, I'll just read them for you. And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus giving instructions. Matthew 4, verse 17, Jesus said, from that time Jesus began to preach to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 10, verse 7, he said, go, preach to the disciples, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he kept talking about this kingdom of heaven that was coming, that is at hand. Mark 1, 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And one more, Luke 21, verse 31. Go likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of heaven is nigh at hand. So this kingdom of heaven, he said, it's here, it's at hand, it's coming up right now. You ready? So, when you read in scripture the kingdom of heaven, it is referring to God's kingdom established in an operation on the earth. The kingdom is built on the bedrock foundation of who Jesus is, the Christ, the anointed Messiah, the Son of the living God. So, you see, Jesus told a set of parables about the kingdom of heaven. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And it's interesting, because if you're checking the site right now, Chandala, he's going through the 7 church ages. And each one of those parables, when he speaks about the kingdom of heaven, it also ties into a specific church age in which the kingdom of heaven, the overt, apparent manifestation of what was going on in the church during that time, was in line with the parables in the order that Jesus told them. So the operation of the kingdom of heaven within this dimension that we're in here on earth. So, does that clear it up a little bit? As far as, see, there is the eternal reality of who God is. That, you know, we, see, here's the other thing too. We already exist there. We exist in multiple dimensions at the same time. The only problem is we're stuck here, only aware of this one for the most part. But our scripture talks about Paul when he wrote, he said, we're seated in heavenly places right now. We're eternal beings. So even right now, we exist in eternity, but yet we are here in a temporal reality for a period of time. So we exist in eternity. There is no time in eternity. Time is again something that we see it here very real, because people are born, they get old, they die, and so we're stuck with that reality. But there is no time in eternity. So even now, you exist as an eternal being in eternity, in connection with the Father. Even there, right now, you are seated in heavenly places, even there. And when you begin to come out of the reality of this world into that spiritual kingdom that God has set up, and you're living, and the kingdom is within you, and you are in Christ, and you're manifesting into that, you even start getting linked up with who you are in eternity. And so, like when Paul was writing, he said, look, I got caught up into the seventh heavens and I saw some stuff. I can't even talk about this stuff. Well, what happened? He basically was going into the spiritual kingdom and seeing reality and not the carnal dimension that he was stuck in, that we're all stuck in. So to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So yeah, so we are here, but still we're here for a limited time, because it has a divine purpose for us being here. And it's not to go to church on Sunday. So, okay, gotta throw in these things every now and then. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea, Philip asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Jesus is asking a question. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Foundational statement. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, Peter, and that upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the kingdom, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Okay. This is the bedrock foundation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven that is here manifest in the earth this day. So, I'm sorry, Pope, I love your hat, but you missed it. Because it's not built on Peter. See, the whole Catholic thing is, and I love the Catholics, but it's wrong. It's built on this thing of what they call papal succession. So basically, they say, all right, they trace this line of one pope to the next, to the next, to the next, all the way back to what they say is Peter, who incidentally never visited Rome in his entire life, but they say that, you know, Peter was the first pope, and incidentally too, they don't know who these guys are right after Peter for a while, they just made some names up, and then they start getting into then, alright, some of the regular, the popes that they can actually trace. But they say that, okay, upon this rock, upon Peter, that God said he's going to build his church, and so here's your pope, and now you have papal infallibility, because he stands in the place of God. Just look at your Greek. Go back, save yourself the whole trip to the Vatican. Because, he says, you are Peter, little rock, Petros. You are the small, you're small little Peter. And so you are a piece of rock. Okay? And it's, but what is the foundation? He says that, I said to thee that thou art Peter, you are a little rock, And upon this rock, big rock, Petra, big rock, which is the confession and reality of who Christ is. He is the rock upon which the church is built, not a fallible man. All right. So, Petra, what was that big rock? When Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." That is the rock that came down, smashed all these kingdoms of the world, that has crushed everything, that is more powerful than anything else, no kingdom of this world can hold a soul that is set free by the King of Kings. Nothing in this world can stop that. So, what you have is you have the big rock, that this entire thing, he's the cornerstone that this whole thing is built on, who Christ Jesus is. And Jesus said, "I will build my church." So now, Peter was given some keys, you know, and with those keys, what were they? They unlocked again at Pentecost in Acts. Don't have this one in my notes, but let's flip there really quick. To the Jews and to the Gentiles, God used Peter. In Acts, let's see, chapter 2, let's see here, and verse 21, let's try that. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Yeah, I like that. "And you men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, that ye yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life. Thou shalt make my joy, make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you that the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his sepulchre, is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." There you go. Open up. There it is. He opened it up to the Jews, and again with Cornelius, he opens it up to the Gentiles. God uses him, but the church is not built on Peter. The church is built on, again, what was that? Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. 1, 2, 3. 3 different times. The same thing, the foundation of this whole thing, which is who Jesus is. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom built, the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual kingdom built on the foundational rock who is Christ Jesus. So anyone that comes into Christ, that is, you know, that is what your life is built on. That is who it is that you look to. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. And so it's not the Catholic Church. So, because, I mean, the Catholic Church, you know, just a little history, Dark Ages was responsible for murdering 68 million people. Spanish Inquisition was not a happy time in the world. And churches, visible churches throughout the world this day, are still in the killing business. Churches, religions are used throughout the world as means of validating all sorts of horrendous things. The thief cometh not but to rob, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. They do the work of the devil, not the work of God. The spiritual kingdom of God looks very, very different than the world. But see, what's happened is that spiritual kingdom, it's built on Jesus Christ, not the institutions of man, and it's a spiritual kingdom that is manifest through the true followers of Christ Jesus. So He manifests His kingdom in the world through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So don't confuse the kingdom of heaven with the kingdoms of this world and the apparent religious systems, religious kingdoms of this world. I to no end see different people trying to establish their own spiritual religious kingdoms in this world to be like everything else. So what, there's some 30,000 denominations of Christianity in the world? Breakaways, one after the other, and each one think that they have something special? You know? The true kingdom of God is built on the bedrock foundation of who Jesus Christ is. He is the head of it. He builds His own church. No man will lord over the church of God. So, the contrast of the kingdom of God versus the kingdoms of this world that are under the natural, their focus of the kingdoms of the world are locked into a natural three-dimensional base reality, and they're controlled behind the scenes by demonic forces. So, let me read you this one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So, the kingdoms of this world are under satanic control, they're managed by the devil, and their primary purpose, again, is to harness the souls of men through their free will consent. So, and it's into, in the dimension of spirit, there's a tree of death that it's basically like sucks people up into it. So to further the power of the soul scalping machine, they run off the souls of people. So when people, the reason that wickedness continues to ramp up more and more in the world is because people have, of their free will, given their souls into that. So it's like logs in the fire of a steam engine. You know, they just keep, these souls are going in there powering this thing, and it's just continuing to increase the manifestations of this demonic worldly kingdom that robs, steals, kills, and destroys itself and everything in it. So people are working their way up the hierarchy and trying to be something in that, so dog eat dog, and they want to be the one on top. So, okay. Now, in the kingdoms of this world, what they do give you is that in exchange for your soul, the world gives, you know, the person their 15 minutes of fame and a chance to be a star on stage for a limited time, but you get a trinket, basically, in exchange for your immortal soul. So, and they have no obligation to keep you propped up there once you've signed yourself over. So, all right. Scripture, back to Luke chapter 4, verse 5, when with the temptations of Jesus. And the devil, taking Jesus up onto a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Amen. So, legitimate offer for a limited time. And there's many, 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 even this very day, that have taken that offer, or a substandard one, to have the world and a portion of the world in exchange for their soul and their allegiance. So that's what you see. And so when you get, you know, these rulers of the world, you know, you wonder, gosh, why are they killing so many people and hurting so many innocents? And you know, who's the one that gave them their positions in the first place? Now, God allows it, because He does let this happen, because this is the choice that they're making and working in. So He allows for that to take place. But these natural kingdoms, He's letting this thing operate, because in this whole process, there's also an eternal drama that's taking place that we're living in the middle of. It's a big love story in the middle of this battleship with bombs and everything else going off at the same time. So most are in bondage to and in slavery to the world. There is no way out except for Jesus Christ. This is paramount. People have to understand this. So there's no freedom from the misery except through the work of Christ on the cross and setting us free. John 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. So nobody comes to God except through Christ Jesus. So the only way out of this prison, the only way out, is Christ, and the kingdom is within. So the way out is within, where Christ would come in, and He would live with you and in you, and manifest out of that, you bloom into eternity. So, okay. So now when you come to Christ, you die to the world. You die to your expectation of being anything in this world. See, all of a sudden, your ambitions have just gone out the window. Which is why, you know, I mean, in this world, you're so heavily conditioned from the very start. From the very start, the way the world conditions you is, so what do you want to be when you grow up? You know? Oh, you're so cute. You're a nice 10-year-old boy. What do you want to do when you grow up? You want to be a fireman. Oh, so good. Basically, how are you going to contribute to the world system? What will you do? How will you fit in? How will you make your contribution? Let the world suck your life force out of you, and then grow old and die. You know, how will you go about doing that? Well, come on. You know, you don't want to be a doctor or an engineer? I mean, so, okay. But people that are kingdom people, you have no ambition in this world, because this is not your home, for one. If you visit a nice hotel in this country, you don't go and try to invest a lot to try to fix up the room, because it's not your home. You're visiting. You're an ambassador in this realm. The scriptures speak of us specifically as ambassadors. We are here representing a spiritual kingdom that we are part of, that is not of this world, and God has us here for an assignment and for a reason. Now, He may make you the CEO of some corporation, but that's His call, not yours. That results from His direction, not yours. Or He may make you a janitor. Whatever the call that He has for you, in that call, you'll also find peace. Because you're in step with the Spirit of God that's leading and guiding you. So, the kingdom of heaven is a spiritual embassy that you function in while you are here. And you're on a mission in this life as an ambassador. So what's the mission? Well, I like this one. 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ was manifest in this world to destroy the works of the devil, and God is manifest in you to destroy the works of the devil in this world. See, again, you have the strong man manifest in you that destroys every other kingdom that's there, that liberates the captives, that sets the captives free, and he functions and moves and works through you to free others. So the Holy Spirit works through you to destroy the works of the devil in this world, and God continues to make spectacles of demonic powers and those that serve them through his people. I want to read you something that is not in any Bibles and not in, but this is actually, it's kind of an excerpt from an old, from some things that were, you know, old church documents, but it's called The Fall of Man. It's Beelzebub's address to the fallen angels. So Beelzebub was, you know, the prince of the demons. And so it's him talking to the fallen angels. So this is just so interesting. Let's listen to this one and get thoughts. Okay, Beelzebub's address to the fallen angels. There is a place, if ancient and prophetic fame in heaven err not, another world, the happy seat of some new race called man, about this time to be created like to us, though less in power and excellence, but favored more of him who rules above. So was his will pronounced among the gods, and by an oath that shook heaven's whole circumference confirmed. Thither let us bend all our thoughts to learn what creatures there inhabit, of what mold or substance, how endued, and what their power, and where their weakness, how attempted best, by force or subtlety. Though heaven be shut, and heaven's high arbiter sit secure in his own strength, this place may lie exposed, the outermost border of his kingdom, left to their defense who hold it. Here, perhaps some advantageous act may be achieved, by sudden onset, either with hellfire, to waste his whole creation, or possess to all as our own, and drive, as we were driven, the puny habitants, or, if not drive, seduce them to our party, that their God may prove their foe, and with repenting hand abolish his own works. This would surpass common revenge and interrupt his joy. In our confusion and our joy upraising, in his disturbance, when his darling sons, hurled headlong to partake with us, shall curse their frail origin and faded bliss, faded so soon, advise if this be worth attempting, or to sit in darkness here, hatching vain empires. Thus Beelzebub pleaded with his devilish counsel, first devised by Satan, and in part proposed, from whence but from the author of all ill could spring so deep a malice to confound the race of mankind in one root, and earth with hell to mingle and involve, done all to spite the great Creator. But this spite still serves his glory to augment. The bold design pleased highly those infernal states, and joy sparkled in their eyes. With full assent they voted, Paradise Lost. So what's going on here is, now this is before, again, the redemptive work of Christ Jesus. So the whole thing of corrupting God's creation and all of this stuff that you saw. This book here, all right, this is actually just an excerpt in the back of a book that's already, it's just an addition at the end. This book here is called The Book of Enoch. But this is just, this is kind of like, there's a lot of other writings that are around that are early church letters and just different works and things that have remained around through the centuries. So I'm just, the reason that I'm reading this one is just to get a contextual understanding of something else going on besides some of the motivation behind the fall. Because it feeds into, again, see, the reality that we live in right now is not really about us. We put so much importance on, you know, me, myself, you know, my existence here in life, what is it that, you know, I'm going to do, and all of this stuff. But the satanic, the spiritual rebellion that took place first in the heavenly rebellion that took place against God with Lucifer, that's spoken about in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. When he was cast out, he got pretty mad, but you can't get God because God is ungettable. So, if ungettable is a word, so what his next best thing was to go after God's creation. So it's like you have a 250-pound heavyweight Golden Gloves boxer, you know, and you're a 102-pound sniveling weasel. You can't go after the boxer, so what you do is you go and attack his kid when he's getting out of grade school. You know, I mean, that's basically what ended up happening. But the purpose wasn't the kid. The purpose was to try to get the God. So the purpose of even all of the stuff that you see around here and all of this stuff is basically to try to get a God. Now, God allowed for this thing to happen. Because sometimes people like say, okay, how can such a loving God and all of this thing? And again, this is where people struggle with, there's the scriptural contradictions because God is love, but then if God is love, then how could all this stuff happen? Well, in the midst of all of this stuff that God definitely allowed for, he's also working out a redemptive plan for all eternity to manifest his love and to show forth his love for his creation that is here, and to show forth his love for his eternal bride. So even in this, God would manifest himself in flesh, in Jesus Christ, and die a horrible, cruel death on a cross, and absorb into himself all of the sins of the world, to offer a free gift unto anyone that would receive it from him, so that all of a sudden they're translated from death into life. And then from that place, all of a sudden you are liberated out of the demonic kingdoms that were set up throughout the ages to harvest the souls of men in rebellion unto God. And God takes that and takes that place and all of a sudden flips it around and makes us puny humans. All of a sudden, we tread upon scorpions and serpents, and demonic powers, because of Christ living in us, fall down and cringe because of the power of God that flows through us because he lives in us and he manifests himself in us in this world. It's all of a sudden the whole script is flipped, and he embarrasses these guys time and again through the true children, true servants of God. So God has us here again, and it's like we're giving the devil the finger. You know, I mean, it's just like us being here, the very fact that we continue to exist here in this world, it ticks off the powers of darkness to no end. But even then, all heaven and the angelic forces of God are surrounding us and protecting and watching over us, so that we function in a place where we should be destroyed if they could get to us, but they can't. So we continue on despite every attempt that they make to destroy, to hurt, and when we go, all that happens is that we are united with the Father. So you will not check out of this world until your assignment is done. So you don't have to worry about any prophecy or anything that people would say or any kind of thing like that. None of it. Because your time here will end when the Father says, all right, you are done, your assignment is complete, time for you to come home. If you are walking in him, if you are in connection with the vine, if you are walking this life out in truth, and you're in connection with the Spirit, nothing is going to happen. They can drop a nuclear bomb on Colombo and you'll walk right through it. You cannot die until the Spirit of God says, you're done. They can't kill you. If they could, they would have done it by now. So it's, you function in a different thing. Now, the people in the world, yes, they can be killed off very quickly, which is why they do so much to build their walls so high and to protect themselves and get security guards and all those other things, because they have to. Because they are consuming and devouring each other, and the biggest dog is the one that gets the chance to survive, but he atrophies and somebody else eats him later down the line. So they're up a creek without a paddle, and you existing here in this dimension, it frustrates them to no end, because you are a living witness that there's another way. So you, even your life in and of itself, is a testimony to the fact that there is another way. And it's a testimony that God defeated every demonic force that ever could raise its ugly head. He defeated them at the cross. So, now see, the reason that we seem kind of odd, the reason that we seem a little bit out of place sometimes, we'll wrap up here in just a second, is it's like we're a few people that kind of walked into a Star Trek convention. So it's like we seem like the odd ones out because everybody else is in the middle of all this weirdness, but in actuality you're the ones that are in connection with truth and life. We won't make sense to the world. We won't make sense to the people here because they're living under a different law. They're living under a different rule. So, okay. Matthew 7 verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein." Go in thereat. Verse 14, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So we will always be in the minority. Period.
What's that verse?
Matthew 7 verse 13 and verse 14. So practically, so while you're here on earth, and it's not going to be for a very long time, set your heart on things above, on your true home. Yeah, we're homesick, yes, but you'll be home soon enough. Right now, we do have a job to do. So while you're here, make sure that you receive your instruction from the Father and for what you're supposed to be about while you're in the world. So, okay, John chapter 17, verse 14 through 18. Jesus said, "I have given speak." This is the Lord's Prayer. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 17, or John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. This is Him praying. "I have given them Thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou should take them out of the world, but that Thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So, we are sent into the world just the same way that Jesus was sent into the world. So we're here on a mission for a limited time, because God has purpose and design in us being here. So, yes, it's not a nice place to be, but of course it's not. That's why we were sent in the first place. So let the Spirit of God lead and direct your life and show you His call and His path and His plan for you. Do not be led by a man. Do not look to man to lead and direct and guide you through this life, because it's not going to work. No man, no religious leader can lead you through this world. Look to God, look to Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of your faith, because He is the one that will lead you through this. So, Luke chapter 4 verse 1, "And Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. The Spirit led him into a place that was tough." John chapter 3 verse 8, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell where it comes from or whether it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." So we're like the wind. The true children of God, you can't box them. They will be led by the Spirit wherever it is that the Father has. So, the series that we're going to get into, all of this was to set up for the next series that we're going to get into. So, praise God, we're going to stop there. But, one of your keys in your ability, it will be your ability to be led by the Spirit of God and to hear His voice. And your ability to hear His voice comes out of your connection with Him. So, we'll be starting a new series on prayer. And I'm going to spend some time, and I'm going to work to compact about 10 years of stuff into a few short lessons, because I want to just give you the key stuff that is going to help you in your prayer and in your walk with God, in your connection with Him. So we're out of time because this definitely took a little bit more time. But if you have, between now and next week, if you have some specific things as far as like questions about prayer, or that, email them to me. I'll take a look. Email them to me early. Don't email them to me like, the day before we come here, something like that, because give me a chance to look at them a little bit. But see, your connection with the Father and your walk with the Father, it's imperative that you have that, and that you walk that thing out. All of you should be spending time with Him every day, because Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So this, the Word of God and connection with the Spirit of God that would speak to you, that'll strengthen you to walk this thing out. You have a spirit man that lives inside of you. You need to feed your spirit man so that he's strong. Because if you don't, what happens is you can't grow. So a lot of people are spiritually anemic. If you want something simple, this is not a rule, but just a simple guideline. If you get up at 7, wake up at 6:40 instead. Just spend 15 minutes in prayer and just read a chapter. But just do it consistently. Consistently give your spirit food. And pray before you read the Word. Just say, God, would you open up your Word to me? Because your Word is spirit. As you do that, the Spirit of God will increase your appetite for more, but He'll also strengthen you. So start, basically be consistent with that. Because also when you're consistent with that, that'll also make our time together more productive, because it's just like, He just does that. He builds the whole thing up. So stop there. I'm a little bit over.